Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
Well, that extra hour of sleep was clutch because that was a long game for a lot of you. Game 7 of the World Series went late. A lot of that extra stuff afterwards, watching and wishing it was you. Unless you're a Dodgers fan, then it was you. And it was a tremendous World Series and a tremendous Game 7 to cap it all. And that was baseball at its best. I really hope that there were non-baseball fans watching that and saying, hey, you know what? I like this sport. I'm in. This is fun. I mean, this is drama. This is what you dream about. When you're a little kid and you're playing with your buddies out in the backyard, those are the exact scenarios that you talk about. 4-3 game, top of the ninth, trying to close it out. Boom! Home run by Rojas. 11th inning. 4-4 game. Will Smith, bang, home run. And the catches and the drama of the bench clearing incident after two inside pitches were thrown and Yamamoto on not three, not two, not one, 0 days rest. Zero. Doing something that I can recall only Madison Bumgarner ever tried to pull off. And I'm not sure if it happens again. We'll see. But he's the best pitcher on the planet in my book, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I mean, just everything that happened in the game that went the Dodgers' way and everything that went against the Blue Jays. I mean, goodness gracious, you got to run through the plate if you're Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, don't you? They win the World Series if he does that. You can't, you cannot hit a ground ball there in the bottom of the 11th and close the game out on a double play. Can't happen. And obviously you can't hang a slider to a hitter at any level and the number 9 hitter and Will Smith. I mean, it's just amazing how many chances the Blue Jays had to win it and didn't. And the Dodgers are the champions and they find ways to win. And I know we're going to go through the highlights in a second. I know that we all roll our eyes when it comes to the Dodgers, except for you Dodgers fans. Congratulations. Because we say, oh, the $500 million payroll, and they get everything they want, and they're all they do is write checks, and that's how they won. Actually, they do all of it right. They found a way to skirt the system. They have $68 million deferred to Ohtani. That allows them to pay even more people more money. But they also have an amazing farm system with an incredible array of coaches and instructors and coordinators and pitching labs and hitting labs and strength and conditioning and mental health and a great front office that is expanding and works in collaboration. Everything that the Cardinals want, by the way, everything that the Cardinals are trying to do is that. Now, they don't have the pockets or the number two media market in America to work from, but the Cardinals have some money, and if they build the right system, they could put themselves together a contender But what the Dodgers do is exactly what you want. They play winning baseball at every single level. And they, when you play for the Dodgers, you are an exceptional winning player in some way, shape, or form. Whether you're Klein, the kid out of Bloomington, Indiana, with the beard, who shut things down. Whether you're Miguel Rojas, who hadn't hit home runs since September 19th, jumps off the bench and says, I want to play. I got this. If you're Andy Pajas, comes in the middle of the ninth inning, for crying out loud, for Tommy Edman, and makes a great play. Everybody on the Dodgers is a winner and a winning player, and they just find the right combination of those players. They push all the right buttons, and they won the championship. Let's go to the highlights. So let me first, let's just go deep into it. I'm not going to take all day because this is a four-hour, seven-minute game. But, Drew, let's start with this. This is where I think things started to turn. So it's a 4-2 lead for the Blue Jays. They're up 4-2. In the bottom, top of the seventh, actually, they get out of the inning with Trey Yesavage. Now, this was like watching two managers manage an all-star game. You know, they're putting starters into the game late in the game to shut things down. You had Snell in there later. Now you got Yesavage is in there in the seventh inning. He finishes it. This is the 22-year-old kid who just made his debut this year, who was in single A earlier this year. You probably know the story by now. Rookie record, 12 strikeouts in a World Series game earlier in the series. So it's Trey Yesavage. They bring him back out in the eighth inning. But even the great Trey Yesavage, with this splitter that the whole world is talking about, has got to throw it in the eighth inning of Game 7 of the World Series against this Dodgers lineup. And you can't throw one where he threw this one to Max Muncy.
One out, bases empty, 4-2 Jays. The 1-1 pitch. Muncy launches in the air, deep right field. This ball is gone! Off the ribbon inside the found that here in Toronto, we are within a run. The Dodgers down 4-3.
Boy, they kept chipping away before that, too. Remember, they had the sac fly RBI to make it from 3-1 to 3-2. The Dodgers just keep themselves in the game. They pitch well. They hit well. They play great defense. There was not one error made from either team in this ballgame. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But the Dodgers have now climbed to within 4-3. Again, follow me here. We're in the eighth inning of Game 7 of the World Series. And Trey Yesavage feels, I'm sure, let down, but he's got to recover somehow, some way. And I mean, that was a mash of a home run by Muncy off the facade, as described right there. He gets Teoscar Hernandez to ground out. Everybody take a breath. The Blue Jays have the lead. It's all good. They're bringing in their closer, Jeff Hoffman, and he gets Tommy Edman, the dangerous Tommy Edman, to ground out to end any sort of threat, and we're going to the bottom of the eighth. Ernie Clement leads off with a double. Blake Snell comes into the game. Andrés Giménez lines out. George Springer strikes out. Davis Schneider comes in for Lucas, and he strikes out. And the pitcher of record is, yep, you guessed it. I mean, just a tremendous, tremendous pitcher. You know, you look at all of the pitchers in Dodger history, and, you know, you go through their great long history. I think when it's all said and done, you're going to go back and look through the Dodgers history and say that Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who is going to come in a little bit later, is one of the best. But I think that there are some unsung heroes on this team and on this staff. I mean, look at the pitchers who have performed in this game in one game. Shohei Ohtani, Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell. But people might forget about Emmett Sheehan. You know, they're like, there are all these pitchers. He went a scoreless inning in a very, very difficult spot. And by the way, his ERA was 8.59 coming into Game 7 of this series. I mean, this is some, like, that's what I'm saying, is that they're not all just all-stars coming off the bench, household names. They all play a role as winning players. And the Dodgers have themselves quite the arsenal. And Emmett Sheehan gets replaced by Blake Snell. And Snell comes in. He gets a line out, a strikeout, and a strikeout. Blake Snell. And you got yourself a deal. So the top of the ninth we go, and this is where I take issue with the Blue Jays. It's a 4-3 game, and you just can't hang pitches. And it's unfortunate that Hoffman, who I feel terrible for him, but you just can't let it happen. And this is what happened. With one out, he strikes out Kike Hernandez, but he can't get past Miguel Rojas.
Can Rojas fight his way on base? Full count, Hoffman delivers. Rojas hits it in the air, left field. This ball's got some carry. It is gone! It's gone! And Game 7 is tied! Miguel Rojas off the bench in Game 6, on the board in Game 7.
This crowd, well, we talked about it in another series. This has turned into a library here. Miguel Rojas.
And again, Rojas with the big home run, and he's circling the bases, and it's an amazing moment. I mean, it's a tying home run in Game 7 of the World Series that has, in the ninth inning, never happened before. It's the first time in baseball that we've seen that happen. But it's all thanks to players like Emmett Sheehan, who pitched a score. I talked about him earlier. A scoreless seventh inning. Do not forget that. He got Bichette, he got Barger, and he got Varsho in a huge moment in the bottom of the seventh inning. So again, we advance now to the ninth. The reason that the Dodgers are still hanging around is the Blue Jays could not get those extra runs. You cannot let the Dodgers, even their number nine hitter, hang around in a one-run game, and that's exactly what happened. Rojas hits the home run. Now, they do get out of the rest of that inning, and we're heading now to the bottom of the ninth. It's a 4-4 game. You can win this right here, right now, if you're the Blue Jays. And in the bottom of the ninth, they have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He flies out. Remember, he hit it. It looked off the bat like it might, but it falls short, and Edmund makes the catch. And then Bo Bichette singles to left. Then they bring in Isaiah Kiner-Falefa as a pinch runner. Addison Barger walks. That puts Kiner-Falefa at second base. Yamamoto comes into the game. Yamamoto hits Alejandro Kirk, the first batter that he faces. And the bases are loaded. Dave Roberts summons the umpires and said, I got to switch here. I'm taking Tommy Edman out of the game. Middle of the inning. I'm taking Tommy Edman out of the game. I'm putting in Andy Pyes, center fielder, as if he knew what was about to happen. What happened next is Dalton Varsho hits a ground ball to Miguel Rojas. Now, it kind of goes off Yamamoto, and Rojas kind of fumbles with it for a second, and he's got to go home with it. He throws home, and he gets Kiner-Falefa out at home by an eyelash. But if you go back and look at Kiner-Falefa, he's the pinch runner now. He's in there to do one thing, and that is run the bases. What is he doing leading off 7 feet off of first third base with Max Muncy, the third baseman, 15 feet off of third base? They measured it 7.8 feet was his lead off of third base, Kiner-Falefa. There's nobody around. Do you think he's going to get picked off by a ghost? I mean, there's nobody. So then the ground ball's hit, bonk, bonk, it bounces around, and Kiner-Falefa comes home, and he slides. It's a force play at home. You just run full speed and run through the plate, and the game is over. But he doesn't. He slides. And this is not, you know, he knows baseball, but this is the pressure of a Game 7 of the World Series. You just tighten up. We saw the Phillies throw a ball away to lose a series. It happens. and he gets thrown out at home plate. And then the play. I mean, this will go down as the catch in Dodgers history. It's bottom of the ninth, and the batter is Ernie Clement.
Ernie Clement, who has had a tremendous Game 7. 3-for-4 with a double, stolen base, and a run scored. He has set a new Major League postseason record for hits in a single postseason with now 30. Number 31 would give Toronto a World Series. Bases loaded, two outs. The pitch. Clement lifts it in the air, left field. Kike Hernandez running back. It's in the gap. It is on the track. They converge. Paez reaches up and makes the catch as he crashes into Kike. Oh, my gosh. We're going to extra innings. A Yamamoto miracle in the ninth.
Well, they put Paez in there for his throwing arm, the defense, because Kike Hernandez was playing shallow. He was going to have no chance to go back and get that ball. And the Dodgers, with bases loaded and one out, come up with two sparkling plays to take it to the 10th in Game 7.
That is so accurate. Paez has a better arm than Edmund. Edmund could have made the catch. Edmund's a great fielder. But he's got a better arm than Edmund. That's why they had him in there. But what an unbelievable catch. I mean, just unbelievable. Under the circumstances, crowd roaring, ball sailing out into left center, collides into Kike and makes the catch to end the inning. Are you kidding me? Just an amazing play. So the top of the 10th comes around, and the pitcher, Dominguez, credit to him, he gets through a tough inning, but he gets through it. And we head to the bottom of the 10th, and Yamamoto goes 1-2-3 and sends it to the 11th inning. And Shane Bieber, Mr. Cool, is the pitcher. I love Bieber. He's a really nice pitcher, really good starter in his last start. But again, these are like all-star substitutions, and here comes the relief of Shane Bieber. He gets the ground out for Rojas. He gets a ground out for Ohtani. It looks like the right move until he throws this to Will Smith.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. will lead off the bottom of the 11th. Can the Dodgers scratch a run across before then? The 2-0. Smith with a smash in the air to deep left field. This ball is out of here! Smith lets it fly and breaks the tie in Game 7 as number 16 stays clutch.
Incredible. Will Smith has been a clutch hitter for a long time. And again, you cannot look. The Blue Jays got beat by their own game. All they do is hit home runs, and the Dodgers hit two out of the park in the ninth and then the 11th. They can't keep the ball in the ballpark. And Smith hits the home run to put the Dodgers up 5-4. But this Blue Jays team does not give in. This game is far from over. The leadoff hitter is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and he promptly doubles off of Yamamoto. He's standing at second, his first hit of the game, and he's pumping his fist and yelling, saying, "Let's go." And so you got yourself a right. You've got to get him to third base. You have to. And Kiner Falefa does. The guy I just ripped for his base running drops down a beautiful bunt and gets Guerrero to third. So there's one out. Then Barger walks. So runners at first and third with one out. Under no circumstance can you hit a ground ball that could be a double play to end this game. You have got to get the ball in the air or strike out for all I care. Or bring in a pinch hitter, somebody who can do one of those things. Hit the ball in the air. But Alejandro Kirk is the batter. They stay with him. And this is the call on the Dodgers radio network.
Hold on to your butts, folks. Blue Jays on the corners. One out. The Dodgers lead by one. Yamamoto's 0-2. Coming to Kirk. Broken back. Ground ball. Betts has it. Steps on the bag. The throw to first. Double play! From backs against the wall to back to back. The Dodgers cement their dynasty.
That's how it ends. The World Series goes to the Dodgers. They have won 9 World Series. The Cardinals have 11. Dodgers are on their heels now, just two back-to-back world championships for the first time since the Yankees won three in a row in 98, 99, 2000. That's how hard it is. It's been 25 years, and the Los Angeles Dodgers are world champions again. Clayton Kershaw ends his career as a champion, hugging his family on the field, crying his eyes out, and the Blue Jays, you talk about crying your eyes out. That was just devastating to watch the pain they had to go through on the other side, but that's sports for you. You know, someone's got to win it, someone has to lose it, and the Dodgers win the World Series in an incredible game, epic, and really one of the great series. We saw a lot of firsts throughout that series. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. My projection for the college football playoff. Then we'll take another break before Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens, is going to join us on the eve of his opener against Southeast Missouri State. The Blues lost again. We'll get into that at 10:45. 11:05 NFL picks, 11:15. Ed Glotzbach in studio, chairman of the BMW Championship. 11:30, Heim Bloom, president of baseball operations for the Cardinals. 11:45, Bernie Miklas. What a show. What a game last night. It's over. The offseason begins for the Cardinals. Back after this on KMOX.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Well, I went a little longer on the World Series than I wanted to, but I had to just sort of go through that and explain it with you and just kind of, you know, get through it. Now, college football was also on my mind yesterday. Yes, I did watch the entire Indiana game, 55-10. You have to understand that we are still, as IU fans, blown away by this experience. We are not taking anything for granted. Was I nervous before the game? No. But every time you go on the road and you're dealing with injuries like they are, you just have a little bit of trepidation, and they leave no doubt. I mean, they just absolutely destroy people, and they won 55-10 and actually backed off in the fourth quarter. The college football playoff rankings, where do I think they're going to be when it comes out on Tuesday night? I think they will still be 2. Do I think they should be 1? I think there's a strong case. They have the best win at Oregon. They have smoked everybody. Remember, they beat Illinois when they were 9 in the country, 63-10. They beat everybody, it seems, by 50. Their toughest one was at Iowa, tough place to play, 20-15 win, and on it goes. I think Indiana is the best right now, playing the best in the country, but I think Ohio State will be 1, and the reason is they're the national champions, and they've passed the eye test. They've dominated every game they've been in. I mean, how do you vote against that right now? I mean, they should earn the benefit of the doubt and be number 1, and I think they probably will, with Indiana 2. 3 is interesting. I think it should be Texas A&M. I think there's a chance that some people might try to even put Alabama above them with the brand. It's always brand. But A&M absolutely should be 3. You could even make a case for 2 or 1 for them because of their strength of schedule. But A&M should be 3. I think Alabama will be 4, and Georgia will be 5. Now, the rest of them, this is where it gets a little tricky. And just kind of hear me out here, because I've been looking at this thing, and one of them that I looked at was what College Football News had to say. I thought theirs was kind of interesting. They came out with a new projection this morning, and this is kind of how they broke it down. So first, they did top 25, so I'll just kind of let you know where Missouri is if you're curious. They've got Missouri in at 16, saying that they have no good wins. And they're probably right. Their best win is the South Carolina game, really. So there's nothing in that win column, says College Football News, that puts them above that. And I get that. Vanderbilt losing yesterday to Texas dropped them down to 15. Missouri 16. 14, Louisville. 13, Virginia. Here's their top 12. Oklahoma at 12. They're back in after beating Tennessee. I don't really have a lot of issue with this top 12. Texas, they have them back in there after the win over Vanderbilt. I could see that for right now at 7-2, the preseason number 1. They get, again, brands get the love here, unfortunately. Notre Dame, they have in at 10 with a record of 6-2. Notre Dame is going to get that brand loyalty and love, even though they barely beat, based on how they should have beaten, Boston College, but they did. Now, if they run the table and they end up with just 2 losses, and those losses are to Texas A&M and Miami, I don't think it's going to hurt them because everybody falls in love with Notre Dame and all the people that they bring to the television. Texas Tech, they have at 9, BYU 8, Ole Miss 7, Georgia 6, Alabama 5, Oregon 4, Texas A&M 3, Indiana 2, Ohio State 1. That's right. They have three of the top four as Big Ten teams, and the SEC still to duke it out. Now, you could sit there and look at these projections. It is definitely not the end-all, be-all right now, because there's way too much still to be determined. I have friends texting me saying, when are we going to make plans for the Big Ten championship? I'm like, whoa, 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 hold on, hold your horses. There's still three games left. You got to go to Penn State next week. I don't care how bad they've been. 4- and 5-star athletes, tough place to play, can be a pain. Let's, you know, injuries right now, get through it. Wisconsin home game at Purdue. But there are way tougher schedules than that for a lot of these teams, including Ohio State, who hasn't beaten Michigan in, what, 4 years, 5 years? So it's a tall task for everybody. Do not freak out, although I know you will, when the top 12, when the college football playoff rankings come out on Tuesday. But that's what we're going to go by from here on out. Not the AP poll, the CFP rankings, starting on Tuesday night. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens, will be with us on KMOX. It's 10:38. Apologies to the head coach of the Billikens. Billiken Report, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We're joined by the head coach at St. Louis University, Josh Schertz. You know I like being on time, but I got a little crazy on my World Series synopsis there. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and you should. What a great game. Allowed me to catch up on some beauty sleep, so you're good, man. I look better. I did watch the World Series all the way through last night. I did not make the 18-inning game or whatever it was, but I did make last night.
Yeah, I didn't either on the 18-inning game. I was up at 4 a.m., so 2 hours of sleep didn't sound very good to me. How's your sleep lately with this team? Probably both. One, you probably have – you're a little anxious about getting this season started, but I sense that you really like this team, that everything has sort of been put into place just as you wanted it.
Yeah, well, sleep in season always stinks. So I've never had good sleep, even the years we were, 32-1 or whatever. You know, you sleep terrible in late October all the way through the end of the season. But I do like the team. We got a group that I think it's been really fun to work with. It's the things you want as a coach. I think it's a really ambitious group. Their work rate is super high, the way they practice. I think the team orientation, which is hard in today's, climate, is there. It's an ambitious group. I think they really want to accomplish things. I think, winning is important to them. Have been really competitive every single day. A lot of fun. It's really high energy group when you walk in the locker room or on the court. So there's a lot to enjoy. We've been going for 5 months, obviously today, June 2nd to November 2nd. So a lot of time together, a lot of work has been done. And now, we get to crank it up for real.
Josh Schertz is with us. Billikens taking on Southeast Missouri State on KMOX tomorrow night at 7. I'll have the television call with Scott Highmark tomorrow and Tamar Scher. Looking forward to that on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Coach, we've talked a lot about your players. We know about Robbie, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, preseason watch list. He's a tremendous player on all facets of the game, really. He runs that offense. Paul Otieno, bringing him in to bang inside and do all those things. Quentin Jones can handle the ball. You've got some shooters in Trey Green, and not to mention Dunlap and Sharma can shoot it. Yeah, he can really shoot it. I'm really curious about all these swing players that you have. And by swing, meaning, McCautry really fits that role. Guys that can play almost all five positions from a defensive standpoint. What do you see for them offensively? And I'm talking like McCautry, Deion Brown, especially Kellen Thames.
Yeah, I think those three are and Quentin Jones is kind of in there. He's a little skinnier, 6'5", but has the length and the wingspan to be disruptive defensively. We love those swing guys. I think the more versatile and deeper your team, the better. It gives you a lot of solutions in a game to be able to attack things from a different way and say, well, this is not working, or we can match this, or, you know, maybe they're going small, we can go double big, or they're double big, we can go small, but still guard them, and they got to guard us. And so, you know, I think, you know, Amari's taking great strides, you know, has really grown as a player. You know, his passing, his rim decision percentage is through the roof. He's obviously a great finisher. He's got to clean stuff up, of course. I mean, there's still, he's got to be more consistent in every possession, but, you know, defensively, when he's locked in, he's a terror on that end with his length and his quickness, and offensively, like I said, he's a wrecking ball downhill and attacks the rim, and he's gotten really good at, you know, finding his teammates and making the right plays and finishing plays at the rim. And you know, Deion Brown, similar, you know, great in transition, so explosive. He, Quentin Jones, and Kellen Thames are as good a transition players as they'll be in the Atlantic 10 in terms of, you know, being able to turn, you know, a missed shot or a turnover into something good for us. And so Deion, super downhill, can make threes, really physical, offensive rebounder, great cutter, you know, a guy that can score a lot of different ways, very unorthodox game, but very effective and unbelievably competitive. And Kellen, you know, has been, you know, through the two games, I think, you know, the two exhibitions or whatever you want to call them, scrimmages, you know, you look at, I think he's averaging around, you know, 16 points a game and 20 minutes a game, but also, you know, 7 rebounds, 3 or 4 steals, you know, and shooting over 80%. So, you know, Kellen's just always been a great, you know, systematic fit. His ability to, you know, he's kind of a little bit of a hybrid. If you look at our Indiana State teams, you know, he's got some Jason Kent to his game, you know, the cutting and athleticism and transition, but he's also got a sprinkle of Julian Larry with the ability to really, the quick twist, the ability to touch paint, get his shoulders by, and, you know, he's just almost unguardable, you know, in transition when he gets ahead of steam going downhill. And so, no, we're really excited. Those guys, a big reason that we have the versatility we have, the kind of ability to play some different ways is, you know, Amari, like you said, can guard 1 through 5. Kellen can guard, you know, 1 through 3, 1 through 4. Deion certainly 1 through 4. Paulo Tiano can guard 1 through 5. So a lot of guys that bring a defensive versatility to our team that allows us to play a lot of different ways. And then offensively, you know, we can play with any kind of combination, and those guys are able to play in character. And that's due to the skill and the size of the guys on the court there, all the guys you mentioned.
Coach, you went to Peoria recently to play Bradley in an exhibition game. I did not get to see that, so I'm really curious your synopsis of that one. And having faced Brian Wardle so many times and knowing how tough his teams can be, how did you accomplish what you were able to accomplish?
You know, it was an interesting test. We did it on purpose. I always felt like, you know, first, you know, obviously I've gotten to know Brian well from my time in the Valley, and, you know, he's one of the really good coaches in college basketball. His teams are always super physical, super tough. And they also, for a Valley team, are probably the closest in terms of what you're going to see from an A-10 level in terms of the size and the physicality. So it was really intentional for us to play them in particular. And then also, you know, I wanted the game to be in Peoria, and I wanted fans there. I mean, I think they had around 4,800 is what they listed as, maybe, you know, right around 5,000 fans. So, you know, wanted to go to on a road trip, wanted our guys to get the experience. We only have, you know, one true road game in the non-conference. So for us, it was, you know, again, the game didn't count, but the experience counted, right? So I thought, you know, in the game, it was a little bit, you know, I kind of said afterwards, it's one of those games where, you know, you look at the final result, and I think it was 98-77 in the 40 minutes that we played our main, you know, our both teams played their main guys. We played the fifth quarter with a lot of the walk-ons and, you know, and whatever. But the main four was, you know, 98-77. And, you know, we scored 98 points and turned it over 21 times. So, you know, offensively, it was something where we did a lot of good things. I think our pace was really good. We shared the ball incredibly well. I think 23 assists. I told the guys, we played exceptionally hard and we played unselfish. And that's why we were able to win. We got a lot of things to clean up. They got to the line 38 times. We fouled way too much. We turned it over 21 times. So there's a lot of areas of growth for us. But to go on the road, feel like you didn't really throw your best punch against a team that's projected to win the Missouri Valley by, you know, KenPom and Evan Maya and all these, you know, predictive services, And win by 20 plus is also, I think, really encouraging for, you know, we know we can play a lot better than we did on October 23rd.
You'll be taking on Southeast Missouri State tomorrow night. Before I ask you about them to close things out, let me ask you this, because I have not talked to you about this personally, was the decision to redshirt Kalu. And it sounds to me like you've got Jax Kerr sort of next in line for that trigger position. Is that where you're looking here with the big man?
Yeah, I think you do things in a, you know, you try to align. It doesn't always align. You try to align what's best for the individual and what's best for the team. Of course, you know, just from a team standpoint, if you're looking at for a one-year window, having Kalu play this year would be probably, you know, best for us from a team standpoint. But if you think about it from a big picture standpoint, and outside of just a one-year snapshot, you know, Kalu's a guy who has spent his first 3 years of his college career. He started, he's played, you know, right around 30 minutes a game everywhere he's been. He wasn't, you know, I wanted to wait till we got into October and after Iowa to kind of see where we were. And, you know, he wasn't in position to probably get the amount of minutes that not only, you know, that he's used to and accustomed to, but also that he probably deserves. I think he's had significant improvement from last year. And so, you know, the thought was, you know, with Robbie, with Paul, you know, certainly we have guys who can play the four position, guys like Amari McCautry, guys like Brady Dunlap, you know, guys like Deion Brown can also play up and play the quote-unquote four position. I thought, you know, it was a great opportunity for him to redshirt, use this year to development, allows us to graduate Paul and Robbie. I think it gives Jax an opportunity to fight and get some minutes, which I think will be really beneficial in his development. I don't think Kalu as a senior would have benefited from any kind of spot minutes, and allows him to develop, grow, continue to evolve as a player. I think he'll be much better in 12 months. He's much better now than he was at the end of last season. I think that trajectory will continue. I think Jax has a chance to be an incredibly special player, and I think Jax will benefit as a freshman. So as we walk into 26-27, our thought was, having a guy like Jax Kerr, who played some minutes as a freshman, and having a guy like Kalu Anya, who's a fifth-year senior, who's in his third year in the program, and we know is starter good at this level, would be a much better 26-27 than, you know, Paul, Robbie, Kalu all graduating, Jax redshirting, and trying to go with just Jax, Bedard, and having so much inexperience at that position.
You'll be taking on Southeast Missouri State tomorrow night. Brad Korn in his sixth year as Southeast Missouri's head coach. That happened fast. I covered him as a player. That guy could shoot it. He was a good player. Korn took his team to the NCAA tournament. I mean, credit to him. What do you see in his team this year?
Yeah, you know, it's a really challenging opening game. You know, they won the Ohio Valley last year. You know, they lost in the championship game of the tournament, but they were the regular season champions. They returned 9 players. So rare to have a team where you win that many games and you have the continuity to bring back 9 guys. So really it's a lot of the same pieces, from last year. They've obviously added, really good, you know, NAI player who, you know, who can score, with that group, but, you know, they have a winning culture, winning pedigree. They got a lot of St. Louis kids. I mean, their backcourt with Ward and Stacker, those guys are St. Louis guys. They'll certainly be excited to be back home and playing in front of their friends and family. It's a really tough opening game. I think they're a team that will win 20-plus games. I really do. They have Brad's done a great job with them as a, you know, in terms of coaching them. And I think they have, like I said, it's very rare, but they have really high levels of continuity. 4 of the guys that, you know, the 4 of their starters, I think, were starters last year. So, or at least started some last year. It's going to be a really good challenge for us. They're really sound defensively, really tough, really physical. They've got a really good culture. They believe in what they do. They're surely not going to come in here and be, you know, wowed by anything. So we're going to have to play very well to win. And I know our guys, you know, understand that, you know, this is going to be a big-time challenge, and I think we're excited for the opportunity to compete against a really good team on opening night.
I hope to see people over there. I'll be there tomorrow night. I cannot wait. And by the way, you can get tickets not only for that game, but I've seen season tickets as low as $150. I'm just saying there are some teams in town where $150 will get you one seat for one game.
Right.
Okay.
You know,
so,
yeah,
I mean,
come on out. It's a great time to come and support and get on early with our team. It's going to be had the chance to be a great year. I'm super excited about it. Come out, get in game one. I promise you'll get hooked and you'll come back.
Good to talk to you. Can't wait. We'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Tom.
There is the head coach of the Billikens, Josh Schertz, with us on KMOX. By the way, congratulations to SLU Men's Soccer. They are the top seed in the A-10. They won the A-10 title. They are the number one seed. Men's Soccer will take on number 8 LaSalle in the Soccer Championship quarterfinal round on Friday at 7 p.m. at Herman Stadium. So, and the Billikens, men and women, play on Thursday. So this is a big week in basketball. So you got basketball tomorrow, you got basketball Thursday, you got the men's soccer quarterfinal on Friday at Herman Stadium. Pretty fun stuff. They're the number one seed. They are back in a big way, the SLU men's soccer team. They've been ranked all year. We'll take a break. We'll come back and tell you about a team that is not doing well, the Blues. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, NFL picks, Ed Glotzbach, chairman of the BMW Championship. Tickets about to go on sale. Can't wait to tell you all about it. Chaim Bloom, Cardinals president of baseball operations, live at 11:30. Bernie Miklas at 11:45. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Ray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
All right, just real quick, here's Blues coach Jim Montgomery after a 3-2 loss at Columbus, their seventh loss in a row.
What I liked was our defensive habits were significantly better, and I liked our first period and our third period. The biggest dislike from the game was too many turnovers, trying to go east-west against a team that had three back all night long. And in the third period, we got in behind them and worked and forechecked, and we ended up generating a lot of scoring chances.
A lot of chances, especially in the third period there. I think you guys ended with 38 shots. Do you like to see that resilience from the team to try to keep fighting?
Well, we're building the right way. The results we're not happy with, but it's starting to get better and better. Like two games in a row where we're in the high 30s and shots on net. And if we continue to do that, we had a lot of deflections that their goalie made really good saves on, or they just went wide of the net. So we're in the right areas, and sooner or later, the puck luck's going to come our way.
Well, you certainly hope so. That is Jim Montgomery, the head coach of the Blues. They have lost 7 in a row. They lost the last one before that in a shootout at home to Vancouver. Then they dropped this one on the road at Columbus. The Blues just having a really tough time with it here, trying to get it right. Their next game is at home tomorrow night, 7:30 face-off against the Edmonton Oilers. We'll take a break. A big 11 o'clock hour coming. Sports on a Sunday morning. Tom Ackerman with you from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
All right, hour number two. Here's what we've done so far. We went through the World Series inside and out. In case you missed it, you can just go back last hour. I take you through basically the 8th through the 11th inning and the misses of the Blue Jays to win and the chances that the Dodgers had that they capitalized on, and they are world champions. We got into the college football playoff projections. What I think is going to happen is different from what I would do. I'm just trying to tell you what I think they're going to do. They're going to give brand loyalty, so just be prepared for that. But that's okay. It's just day one of the college football playoff rankings. These things are going to shuffle all over the place over the next few weeks, at least. Let's also say that we did a really, I think, nice preview thanks to Josh Schertz. He is one of the best interviews we've had on this show, and this show has been going on forever. I mean, does he not break down his team incredibly well? He is exceptional, and we appreciate his contribution here on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Billikens play tomorrow night in their opener at Chaffetz Arena. And we touched on the Blues for a little bit, but quite honestly, I mean, they're doing the same thing over and over. I mean, they just keep losing. They've lost 7 in a row. Something is amiss there, although Jim Montgomery said that he thought he saw some good signs, lots of shots on goal. Things are changing a little bit, but they got to get better luck going their way in a hurry. We're coming up, Ed Glotzbach, chairman of the BMW Championship, Heim Bloom, president of baseball operations for the Cardinals, Bernie Miklas at 11:45. We're going to have a good hour. But first, as we always do in the 11 o'clock hour, it's been a while, NFL picks. Let's get into this. Now, haven't done this in a little while, but I'm feeling pretty good. That's because I actually was a winner on the Underdog app in that Ravens-Dolphins game. That's right. Remember I told you, Total Information AM, I said it on the air. I said, take Derrick Henry, higher than 90.5 rushing yards. Take Lamar Jackson, lower than 234.5 passing yards. The reason, Lamar is kind of getting going here, and they're going to run the ball a ton, and the Dolphins are bad against the run. What happened? Check and check. And then to throw in an extra, I said A-Chain for the Dolphins will go over higher than 56.5 rushing yards, and he did, 67. I mean, he was blown by it, and then they called off the dogs, I guess, but it's 67, and they started to throw the ball to get back into it. Ravens blew him out 28-6. All right, let's do it. Here are the games coming up today. Noon kickoff, Chicago at Cincinnati. Bengals fans are in love with Joe Flacco. They think this is awesome. Problem is, they give up way too many points, and the Jets came back and beat them last weekend in a stunning fourth quarter. That's Cincinnati's problem. They have, this isn't about losing Joe Burrow. This is, their team isn't all that great. And they gave up to the 0-7 Jets 39 points. I got the Bears today -3 at Cincinnati. Bears have to win if they want to keep pace in their own division. That's because the Detroit Lions look awesome, and they're the second-best team in their own division. They might be the best team in football. Noon kickoff for them at home against Minnesota. They're in a 9.5-point favorite. They will cover that. Detroit -9.5. Green Bay's -13 at home against Carolina. Woo, man. Are you kidding me? Carolina's 4-4. I mean, they're not that bad. Carolina's won 4 out of its last 6 and 3 out of its last 4, but everybody's looking at how Buffalo absolutely smoked them last week. So therefore, people are down on Carolina. You know what? I'm going to go Carolina +13 at Lambeau. Keep that game somewhat manageable. We'll see if I'm right. I might be wrong. Whatever. Chargers at Tennessee. That's a 10-point spread. Well, Tennessee's bad, though, man. Chargers -10. Atlanta at New England. Patriots continue to play good football, and they are hosting the Falcons as a 5-point favorite. The Falcons do not impress me right now. They have lost back-to-back games, and they just got absolutely destroyed by the Dolphins. I'm Patriots minus 5 all day. That's almost a lock. San Francisco at the Giants. Sorry, Drew. 49ers find ways to win even when they're banged up. 49ers minus 2.5 on the road. Indianapolis at Pittsburgh. Colts are the best team in the AFC. They are a 3-point favorite at Pittsburgh. Give me them all day. Minus 3 at the Steelers. Steelers are a little shaky. Denver at Houston. Broncos are the team to watch right now, but Houston's very good. Houston's a 2.5-point favorite at home against the Broncos. I'm going to stay on this Broncos train a little bit longer, plus 2.5 at Houston. Jacksonville at Vegas. Jaguars are a 2.5-point favorite. I'm going to roll with them on the road against the Raiders. New Orleans at the Rams. Rams are a 2-touchdown favorite against the hapless Saints. Rams, I hate to say it, but they're a nice team. They have very good defense. I'll go Rams minus 14. Any Saints fans making the trip over there? Otherwise, that place could be empty. Kansas City at Buffalo. Here we go. Now, this is the game. The Chiefs are a 2-point favorite at Buffalo. Whoa. Chiefs are trying to show everybody that they're the best team in football. They might be, but not today. I'm going to go the home team today. Buffalo plus 2. Take that. Seattle at Washington. Sunday night. Washington's in like every primetime game now, and they're not very good. And everyone's down on Seattle, too, but they're a 3-point favorite at Washington. I think Seattle's pretty good. I'll go Seattle minus 3 on the road. I'm not big on Washington right now. I mean, with this, after they lost Jaden Daniels, just everything just kind of, you know, fell apart for them. Arizona at Dallas. Ugh. Not a great game there, but a Monday night football game. I guess I'll go Cowboys. Boy, I miss those days as a kid growing up, rooting for the St. Louis Cardinals against the Cowboys. Those were the days when the Cowboys would come into town, Section 232. I'd be freezing. But I'm going to take the Cowboys minus 3 at home on Monday night this time around. Those are our picks. Back in a moment with Ed Glotzbach on KMOX.
Now, back to the Grape Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Chaim Bloom at 11:30, Bernie Miklas 11:45. Right now in studio joining us is the chairman of the 2026 BMW Championship to be held August 18th through the 23rd at Bell Reef Country Club. It's Ed Glotzbach. Great to see you. Great to be back together with you. How are you? We'll get your microphone on. Say that again. Let's do that over. Go ahead.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Good to be with you. Ed, we go back a ways. And, you know, we were just talking a little bit about 2018 and the PGA Championship at Belle Reve. I think you would agree with me. That exceeded even my wildest imagination. Everything that happened at once, it was the perfect storm. It was the perfect golf tournament for St. Louis.
Yeah, it really was. You know, having Tiger there winning by Brooks Koepka, the crowds were enormous and supportive and had a great time. The course showed up well. That really was perfect. It's interesting that you still, when you go around town, you still see merchandise from the championship and people want to talk about it and where were you when Tiger did this and Tiger did that. So it really was pretty magical.
It was, and you hope to see another major come through at some point. The President's Cup is coming in 2030. It's going to be an incredible time, and here you are with the BMW Championship in 2026. You've had it before. Camilo Vijegas was the winner back in 2008. I remember that well. He's the one who would be like a spider. On the green reading his putt, and he was a lot of fun. It was a great, great weekend in St. Louis back then.
It was. And, you know, Camilo's done, you know, quite well since then and has been an interesting golfer to follow. BMW, you know, began sponsoring that championship in 2007, still do it. And you know, through that, a lot of money raised went to the Evans Scholars Foundation. But a lot of good times and a lot of good golf. So we're really looking forward to hosting it again.
The BMW Championship has contributed more than $60 million to the foundation's mission of sending deserving youth caddies to college, Evans Scholars. So, Ed, the BMW Championship, which goes way back, it was first called the Western Open in 1899. It sets up what is a memorable weekend because it's part of the FedEx Cup playoffs. The best of the best will be rolling into town. How do you see this in terms of a field and the attraction from that standpoint?
Well, there'll be 50 golfers. So, and they're the 50 that have, you know, gotten through the Memphis Challenge the week before. And certainly wanting to get on to Atlanta a week later when there's only 30. But, you know, it's very competitive. We've thought a lot about the course. It's been interesting for me to meet with the PGA course architects and see how they look at things. And so they're very intent on, you know, making sure it's a great course, going to play well. BMW is obviously very proud of their brand, so they've spent some time with us and make sure we can do honor that brand. So it's you know, the excitement's ramping up and tickets go on sale before long, so we'll be, you know, moving on to that.
I have a November 20th as the date, which is a big day for us. 11/20, that's us. 11/20, that's our day. In fact, we're going to be celebrating our 100th birthday. Oh, wow. We're not as old as the BMW Championship, but we're getting there. 100 years for KMOX, and we have been a proud partner with Belrive, which really. You know, I want to say this about Belrive, and I've been saying this a lot here recently. The Dome, Worldwide Technology Raceway, Busch Stadium, Enterprise Center, Energizer Park. Belrive is a professional sports venue in St. Louis. It is. It just is. And, you know, when you drive by it, it's more than a country club. That is a place where history has been made. So many championships. I'm sure that's something that over the years, membership and the people surrounding Belrive are very proud of.
Yeah, we are very proud of it. Started in 1965 with the U.S. Open, and of course, the most recent you mentioned was 2018 PGA Championship. We've worked hard to keep that a championship course as the game of golf has changed a little bit with technology. So even with this upcoming BMW Championship, we've added length to five different tees and completely redesigned one tee complex that makes it a really difficult hole on number 17. Difficult enough already.
Yeah, so 17 has a creek running along the right side. So now you've moved that over to where there's just a little more difficulty, maybe a little more temptation. I don't know. We'll see what they do with it.
Well, it's the creek's in play all the way, and you know, you can't fade it. If you you got to go down the center. There's bunkers on the left. There's rough on the left. I played that new tee complex one time, and it was pretty intimidating. But it won't be as much to them. It's a challenging hole. But we added about 300 total yards to the course, and that'll as I said, the course architects are pretty happy about that. It makes it an even more challenging. We're lucky we've got that kind of acreage to do that kind of thing on the course and to host as many people as will be there and want to come out. So
it's such a great piece of property. Now, having covered the 2019 PGA Championship the year later at Bethpage, I really saw the difference. Yeah. Belrive's footprint is smaller. Therefore, you have crowds that are right on top of you, and it is loud but respectful, fun, party atmosphere, but again, a lot of the traditions of golf are well accepted and loved. It is just an amazing experience for everybody at Belrive. It really is.
It's interesting, excuse me, when you talk to the golf's governing bodies about, and they talk about Belrive, one of the magical things about it is what you said, the respectful crowds, the enthusiasm of the crowds, the politeness of the crowds, so it's, and the fact that they turn out in such big numbers. So in addition to the, you know, a really challenging course, they also want to bring it to a place where it's going to be great on TV, but the players are going to love it, which they do.
Let's give people information on how to get tickets, because I remember the PGA, that there were some people that waited a little too late and they were boxed out. So available to the public November 20th. If you're just looking for an experience with some friends and family and you're not a golf fan, I assure you, you're going to have a great time at this event. There are so many places to eat and drink and buy merchandise, not to mention see some of the best in the world. Is the best way, Ed, to go to bmwchampionship.com to get into that priority ticket program? Is that how that works?
It is, and you can do that right now. It's open prior to November 20th, so if you register on bmwchampionship.com, then come November 20th, you'll get the earliest notification of what's available, and that's the best way to get into it.
And you're going to have different price points, but just so people understand, I mean, we're talking about, this is like having the NFL playoffs come into town from a golf level. This is like having the AFC-NFC championship in one weekend at your place. So it's going to be a premier ticket.
That's a great analogy. It is going to be premier, and we're looking forward to having St. Louis and St. Louis fans with us as much as possible. So again, you can go register for that priority access to the ticket, and as soon as it pops up, pick them up.
It was 7 years ago that my girls were there. Erica is 19 now and in college, so she was 12, but remembers vividly seeing her favorite player, Justin Rose. I said, why do you like Justin? She said, because he smiles a lot. But the priority ticketing opens this week, and then it will come to a close. So you have a little time there to get in there. But I remember the kids especially enjoying it, and it's a great place for families. So all kids 15 and under receive complimentary grounds admission when accompanied by a ticketed adult. That is huge. Are you kidding? For an event like that? So if you're like, well, I don't know, we got the kids and that's a lot. No, the kids are under 15 and under are complimentary. That's incredible.
It is. We've worked, we talked to the Western Golf Association about that. And again, it's part of the kind of St. Louis culture, or how many people want to come support. So having 15 and under complimentary with once you're accompanied by a ticketed adult is something we're really happy about.
You've had some volunteering open, and a lot of those requests have been fulfilled. They're just limited spots there, but we want to let you know that tickets are available and ready to roll, and the public will be able to get them, but you can get priority placement this week, and then November 20th is when they'll go on sale. And parking and transportation, Ed, last thing for you, but I know that that's always a machine-like operation that has to be precise, and you've done a wonderful job with it.
Yeah, and we've worked hard on it again this year. In 2018, rideshare was used by about 30% of our spectators out there, and we expect it to be more this time. But we've been able to already get signed up with contracts on various parking venues. It'll be a short ride to the course and working on traffic control and things like that. So trying every aspect of it to make it a pleasant experience.
The top 50 players in the FedEx Cup playoffs will be at Belle Reve Country Club August 18th through the 23rd for the BMW Championship. Go to bmwchampionship.com. That's where you can get in line right now for tickets, and the sales launch is November 20th. Chairman Ed Glotzbach with us. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
I know he'll be listening to Chaim Bloom when he comes up next. Cardinals President of Baseball Operations joins us live on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Right after this.
Now, back to the Grape Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
And here is the president of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom, joins us live on KMOX. Good morning, Chaim. Thanks as always.
Good morning. It's good to be on with you.
It's great to talk to you. Wow, what a Game 7. What a World Series. Are you kidding? That had everything you could possibly imagine, Chaim. I don't know that I've seen a game quite like that in some time. That was tremendous.
That was about as entertaining as it gets. You know, when you think about those moments at the end of the season, and it takes a Game 7 to do this, where for both teams, you know, one stumble, one bad throw, one inch can lead to championship or to having something to think about, sadly, all winter, and both teams having that on the line, that was entertaining.
It sure was. And there's just something about the Dodgers. You know, we talk all about their payroll, and I know that that's a big topic. But, Chaim, they seem to have a knack for calling up players and having the depth in their system. And I think this is something that you're shooting for here, is that everybody who comes up seems to be a winning player. They are exceptional at one, two, or a multitude of things to contribute to winning. And that's how they've been successful, in part due to their development.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, obviously we talk about the financial disparity sometimes. Those are real, not saying they aren't. But I think for us to focus on them, to think about them, you know, that's not a winning mindset. That's not how we're going to get where we want to go. What you talk about with winning players, developing talent that can impact you on the highest level, we control that. We can impact that, and that's something we got to do, and that's where our energies need to be focused.
And you are going to go about that. Tell me about Andrew Friedman. You know him well. He was with the Rays for a decade, from 04 to 14. What has made him so successful?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be where I am in my career without Andrew. He hired me right there at the beginning with the Rays, and I was fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time to get in on the ground floor, something that became really, really special. And then obviously when he left to L.A., you can see what he's done there and taken it to another level. And I watched him from a distance also push himself and grow and change and evolve over the course of his career, which is really challenging to do when you're having success, and he's been able to do it. But what really stands out to me about him, obviously, we try to be at the forefront over there of information and putting ourselves in position to make really good decisions, trying to see around corners, trying to do things other clubs were not. That's all really important. But what stood out to me about him, and what still stands out, and what was a big part of the culture we built there, was about people. And he has a way with people. He can connect with anybody, on or off the field, and brought an organization together there with the Rays and has done the same thing with the Dodgers and got everybody pointed in the same direction.
Yeah, it does seem like there's a lot of harmony going on over there. And The front office is very important to have that in place the way that you want it. You have announced some baseball operations hires. Joe Douglas, Director of Pro Acquisition, 8 seasons with the Pirates. He's going to work with Randy Flores. Jacob Buffa, St. Louis native, Senior Director, International Scouting. He is going to work with Moises Rodriguez. In fact, he'll report to Moises, won't he, Haim?
Yes. Yeah, and both of those are areas. You know, I talked about this last month when I started in this current job, that we need to attack every area of our operation and really try to push it forward with some purpose. We need to look at everything that we're doing and trying to find ways to push the operation forward. That's how we get to compete behind the curtain. And all those things you talked about, developing a winning organization, developing winning players, as this organization has shown over time, those things happen when you do the right things with your operation, and that's how we move that needle. So we wanted to be able to do that in some different areas. We were able to do it on the pro side, just building a process that will allow us to compete with the best in this industry in terms of putting us in position to make the right decisions, having the best information, understanding other teams' players, hopefully at least as well and maybe better than they understand them themselves, so we can make some good moves there. And then on the international side, this is a highly competitive area that keeps evolving. And what we're really looking to do in both these areas is just build on the successes of the past, but try to take it to a new level, get some fresh eyes on it, new voices, different ideas to be able to enhance and push forward what we do.
And keeping some people in place, as I mentioned, what are your thoughts on Randy Flores? I haven't talked to you about him. I mean, he's been in charge of this draft for the last several seasons, Haim.
Yeah, I did not really know Flo that well when I came to the organization, so it's been cool over the last couple of years to get to know him. It stands out immediately. You can see why Mo put him in this role, and really, in some ways, kind of an out-of-box hire when he made it, and has paid a lot of dividends. Obviously, you're talking about someone who understands this organization, has played the game at the highest level, and been through just about everything you could go through as a player. Won a World Series, but he's also been optioned, he's been DFA'd, he's bounced around, so real understanding and empathy for what players go through, and also a really good understanding of process and how you build process in the front office to make really good decisions time and again. And that's really a lot of what's keyed the success in the draft that he has been the ability to do that. Every year we have a certain number of picks, and we know that in the draft you're not going to nail every single one. That's just not how our industry works. So you need to have a process you can fall back on, that if you're constantly looking to make it better and you're constantly willing to trust it, trust your people, trust your process, those decisions are going to add up over time, and you're going to be able to fill the system with talent. And he's done a good job of that. And, you know, his area, he'd be the first to tell you he wants to keep moving forward. We have to, because it's a competitive industry. And giving him some help on the pro side, I think, is also going to really help us be able to bring new focus to that area too.
Flo, also one of the funniest people I know. You get him on a roll, he can have the whole room busting up. He's pretty good at that as well.
No doubt. It doesn't take much. You get him going, and you just sit back with your popcorn. It's fun.
Yeah, it is good. What are you planning here? I have not seen any official announcement on coaching staff. Can you give us a bit of a timeline as to when you'd like to have that in place, and is there anything you can reveal as to what you're doing there moving around Ollie's staff?
Yeah, not just yet. We don't have a timetable. We are moving this along, and we'd like to get it settled sooner rather than later. But obviously, there's some things we need to let play out. I know there's been some things out there about what we're doing and just not ready to address them formally yet. But the basic theme here is you'll see a lot of familiar faces, and then there's some things we're doing in addition with the staff, and you know, moving some people's responsibilities around in various places on that coaching staff, on that medical and performance staff, to try to enhance what we do. You know, this is something, again, I've gotten to be around these guys. They're a very together staff. They understand the game. They understand the organization. They're incredibly hardworking. I'm looking forward to spending a lot of time with the group this year and just understanding it even further. But based on what I saw this past year and a half, there's already some areas where Ollie and I have talked about where we can move things forward, and we're in the process of doing that.
That is, of course, the big league staff. As it pertains to the minor leagues, you told me that things continue to develop there. Are you continuing to make additions to the minor league staffs?
Yeah, we are. And again, you know, some of that stuff's in progress, and at some point, as we get deeper into the offseason, we'll be able to announce our minor league staff, both at the affiliates, at the complex in Jupiter, and in our front office in St. Louis. again, we've had a year under our belts with some new leadership to be able to start moving some things and learning what we have, and then also learning what we need and where we can continue to enhance things. And I'm happy that we have the resources to be able to do that. We already felt like we started to see some dividends in 2025 of some of the work we were doing. So it's exciting to be able to add in certain targeted areas some more support.
Chaim Bloom is with us. Speaking about getting some popcorn, Cardinals fans are like, all right, here we go. All right, World Series is over. Offseason begins. Free agency, trades. What do we got? People have a lot of questions. So how would you address that in terms of the fan base right now? When you look at player acquisition, roster construction, how do you want to go about this? One thing you did tell me is that you would like to add some pieces to this rotation, kind of make that whole. That seems like a priority for you.
Yeah, no question. I do think the pitching side of the ledger is where I think we stand to benefit the most by adding externally, whether it's in the rotation to enhance what we do to stabilize that group and not to block off our young players, but also to make sure that we are not putting too much on them before they're ready. And then in the bullpen, you know, you never have enough out there, and there's always value not just to the on-field work that the right bullpen additions can give you, but also what they can do for you in the clubhouse and mentorship of young players. That's been a feature of most clubs that I've been around, and that's really helpful too. So we'll take a look at that. We've just gotten into the offseason. We're actually raring to go. It's exciting to be able to focus on that, but the way the industry has trended, usually organizations, whether you're in the playoffs or not, you're so focused on just getting your staff settled this time of year that it takes the offseason a little bit of time often to get into gear. Hopefully we can move some things sooner rather than later. A week from tomorrow, we'll be headed out to Vegas for the GM meetings, which is kind of the unofficial kickoff of the offseason. But that said, it is open season right now, so we're touching base with other teams. They're talking to us, just trying to get a sense of what everybody's looking to do so we can see where we might line up.
And Chaim, just to keep it transparent with fans, you're open to trades, free agency. Nothing is really off the table in terms of transactions, right? You're just kind of and you've actually said, you know, some hard decisions could be made, and that sort of comes with the territory, I guess, if you're reconstructing a team.
Yeah, we need to be. You know, I view this not just because of where we are as an organization, but also my first off season in this role. This is a good time to really understand how the industry sees our players, where fits might be, and make sure we're really aggressive in gathering that information. And when I talk about those hard decisions, that's really just staying true to our goals. I tried to be very clear with everybody. I know we have a fan base that pays very close attention. I just wanted to give them kind of a target of how we're focusing our energy so that as they think about things we might do or look at things that we will do, that they understand our lens and how we're looking at them, and they can hold us accountable to that. So we are going to be focused on that endpoint. We are going to be focused on avoiding some of those short-term distractions and trying to make sure we build this core out to where we can get back to where we need to be, to a team that can compete annually to win this division and make a playoff run.
Always a pleasure to talk some ball with you. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next Sunday.
Sounds great, Tom. Good talking to you. Enjoy
you
the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you. There's the president of baseball operations for the Cardinals, Chaim Bloom. We are in it now. The baseball offseason begins. The Dodgers, world champions last night with a 5-4 win over the Blue Jays. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Bernie Miklas will break it all down for you next on KMOX.
Now, back to the Grape Bar Sports on a Sunday morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
I get to spend the next 10 minutes with Bernie Miklas. It's one of my favorite times of the week. How are you, my man?
I'm doing good, man. Gosh, the baseball, the college football, it was a great weekend to just sit back and dive into the sports world.
Wasn't it, though? I did an event last night for Kyle MacLellan, Brace for Impact 46 at the Four Seasons, and somebody yelled from the crowd at the end of the night, "I can't believe you haven't said anything about Indiana football." I'm like, what? What am I supposed to say? Some guy just sent me a DM and said, "Hello, Tom. I don't get how Indiana and Ohio State are at the top of the rankings. Both have one great win, one middling win in Illinois, and the rest are all scrubs. Most of the Big Ten stinks." Are you kidding me? What is wrong?
Number one, I do think the SEC is stronger top to bottom. But here's the deal about this. Who cares?
It'll all play itself out.
I'm not being disrespectful to, you know, the person that sent that. I really mean that. I'm not. But the point is, the college football playoff committee, they're gonna release their first rankings this week. They're the only ones that matter. Like the AP and the coaches' poll simply doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant at this point. So it's all going to play out. But I think Ohio State is incredible. I think Indiana continues to be – it's a two-year story that's incredible. Somewhere along the way, they're all going to have to be tested. Indiana's going to be tested. Ohio State's going to be tested. The top teams in the SEC are going to be tested. So why are we getting worked up about this now on November the 2nd?
I know. Everybody gets wound up. It's just going to come down to an SEC playing a Big Ten in the playoffs. That's what's going to settle this thing. And some of that we saw last year. So it'll be fun. December, January is going to be awesome. Well, that'll be the time where baseball moves start happening, Bernie. I would imagine you won't see a lot of fireworks until the winter meetings. But until then, Chaim Bloom has already done his homework. You heard him last segment on KMOX. Is ready to add, I think, at least two starters to this rotation, it sounds like. I mean, you have to have it. You have to have a rotation if you want to build this thing.
Yeah, they need some protection. You know, I would be really surprised if, you know, he comes up with a pitcher or two where they get multi-year deals. I'm just going to guess that the preference will be, you know, one-year deals, but that's okay. I think there'll be a lot of competition for available starting pitchers. But then again, you know, Chaim Bloom also has the wherewithal to trade for one rather than sign for one. So, listen, one thing we've learned about him is that when he sets his mind out to do something, or when he, you know, he has a goal in mind and he tells the public what the goals are, he pursues the goals passionately and he gets stuff done. If you think about Tom, and I can't go over the whole list, but if you think about it, and it happened as you guys were talking about this past week, he added two more people to the front office. When you think about the time he came in, the time he started remodeling, renovating, refurbishing, whatever, the minor league system and the player development system and all the long, 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 long list of things that needed to be upgraded and changed, including a lot of hires. Think about the enormity of that task and how well that's doing so far. Think about how he has dramatically beefed up their pro scouting and their international scouting. And frankly, that's been an area of weakness. They keep adding people to the internal operations, minor leagues, player development, major leagues. And the Cardinals have needed this kind of makeover for a very long time. Now, listen, I know that's not as exciting as like, oh, dude, did you hear the Cardinals signed Kyle Tucker? I mean, I know that, but this organization had to undergo a very aggressive makeover with the stuff that we don't see. The minor leagues, the player development, the technology, the facilities, the instructors, the teachers, pro scouting, international scouting, I mean, analytics, on. This guy has got so much done in a relatively short time. It's impressive. So when he says, when he tells Tom Ackerman on Sports on a Sunday morning that, we'd like to go get some starting pitching. It's a priority. He's basically saying we're going to do that. I take that to the bank because when he sets a goal, man, he's like an attack dog. He gets after it.
Yeah, take it to the bank. And I will say something about his additions. Do not overlook this Jacob Buffa. I mean, they got him from the Astros, and a lot of people wanted him. He was their director of performance science. This is exactly where the Cardinals want to go here. He was responsible for setting a vision, a strategy for the Astros. Why are they good every year, people asked. Well, they developed their minor leaguers. They had, you know, some of the things that he was involved in, biomechanics, sports science, player development. Bernie, he had his own, as you know, performance facility right here in St. Louis.
Right. And, you know, the Cardinals, again, they have been sorely lacking in this area, which is one of the more modern approaches that good teams are using to maximize the potential of their players. The Cardinals were basically nowhere to be found in this area. Now they have one of the top guys in the business. That's another example of Chaim Bloom. And I know people get sick of me and maybe you and others of praising Chaim Bloom. We're praising him because all we can go by is what he has done so far. And it's been very impressive. And there's no reason to say otherwise. Now, when he starts to build a roster, And if they screw some things up or whatever, I'll be talking about that too. But so far, with the assignment that he's been given, he's gotten a heck of a lot done since coming to the Cardinals in really important areas.
And I know there are people who look at the Dodgers and say, well, they only did what they did because they spend. You're overlooking some of these people that they bring up, like Will Klein out of Bloomington, Indiana, by the way. Out of, last night, Sheehan coming in with an 8 ERA. They don't care. They put him right in there in a big, big situation. Seventh inning of game seven. I mean, these guys just continue to fill spots.
Robleski's that lefty reliever who's really good. He's one of their own. The two guys you mentioned are internally developed relievers. And, you look at the guy that saved their season, Miguel Rojas. Now, we can talk about the Dodgers' $400 million payroll and all that. The guy that saved their season was someone they got from the Marlins in 2023. He lost his starting job. He's basically the 26th man. He's not very good, but he's a great team guy, and he can play good defense, and, they like him. This guy he's making $5 million. Don't get me wrong. That's a lot of money. But in the context of all the humongous salaries the Dodgers carry, the guy who saved their season is their 26th man who makes $5 million a year. And there were some other people, coming off the bench and doing that too, like Andy Pages. He can't hit anymore. They benched him. Look at that catch he made last night. That is an internally developed Dodger. We could go on and on and on. But, one thing I'll throw in about the Dodgers, what I find is interesting, and I'm probably right about this, the Dodgers, to me, if you look at how they did load management with their starting pitchers this year, I mean, Yamamoto made 30 starts, and how phenomenal was he the last couple nights? Unbelievable. So Yamamoto made 30 starts, and then you got to go down. Glasnow made 18. Then it goes down to 14. Snell only made 11 starts. This was done for a reason. This is like the NBA's version of load management. The Dodgers are like, well, last year our starting pitching was all torn up. It was spent by the time we got to the postseason. We're not going to let that happen. We are going to pace these guys. We know we're going to get to the playoffs. We're going to have all four of these starters physically ready to go at 100% when October rolls around. And that's exactly what happened. And that's probably the number one reason why they won this, but they won it for a lot of other reasons as well. But this looked like the MLB's version, the first NBA style championship, by the team that won the championship. It's the first like NBA championship won by a Major League Baseball team, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. And it was just a memorable, epic World Series in Game 7. And now the offseason begins, and Bernie Miklas will be with us every step of the way. He's on with us throughout the week on various shows. But for my selfish purposes, I will promote that he will be with us for the Gas House Gang on Tuesday. And I can't wait, buddy. Yep. We're going to have a good
Looking
time.
Looking forward to it. Have a great rest of the weekend, Tom.
You too, buddy. Bernie Miklas with us, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin dealer. And we say so long from Studio B, the Stiefel Sports Studio. Sports on a Sunday morning. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Total Information AM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.